produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Better Broken radio broadcast. I am your host, Angie West. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 34:18, which says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Each program, I have shared how your brokenness is a big deal to God. If you are His child, He promises to take care of you and your broken pieces of life. Whether you're His child or not, He promises that He loves you unconditionally, and He wants for us to know that. He wants for us to know that we can be a child of His. He wants for us to choose Him alone over anything in our lives. The plans of this show is to continue to build up, to encourage, and to share more testimonials just like mine in order to give further help in broken lives. I want to inspire you to know that you can overcome battles in your life. You can move past your brokenness in your life. By sharing personal testimonies, I teach how I chose to become a better broken. From my personal experiences using scripture from the Bible and asking questions to glean upon, I teach how you too can overcome many battles of brokenness that you might face. Last week, I finished off with the last chapter of my book, A Better Broken for Teens. We talked about how we can overcome battles that teenagers face in their times of life in this particular book. And I went over each chapter each time that I had a program. And now I just want to, my main intention now is to review some of the main points and to turn those points around into things that we are dealing with today, right now in our lives. As we are worldwide on quarantine, we are all experiencing some type of brokenness right now, today, in our lives. For me personally, I'm experiencing a broken piece of life that every mother dreams of. After watching your child strive to do their very best in all that they do in their school, every mother dreams to see their child complete their course and walk down the aisle to receive their diploma. Every parent dreams of seeing their child graduate from school. Today, so many mothers are feeling exactly as I am, and I'm so thankful that I'm not alone in this journey. So many moms are unsure of their child being able to walk down the aisle to graduate from their schools. And so I wanted to just be a little bit of an inspiration and encouragement to all of us today, including myself. But I want to go back to the introduction of this book. At the very beginning, I stated, it's plain and simple. Our lives will involve tribulations. John 16:33 states, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Boy, do we need that verse today. In me ye might have peace. God is speaking of himself there. He wants to give us peace in all that we are going through right now in our lives. It said that the world will have tribulation. So this is not the only time in our lives that we're going to have tribulations. There's going to be more times to come. But he wants us to be of good cheer. He wants us to trust in him and to have faith that he has overcome the world. He's already overcome the world. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Something that I have learned is that God is the healer of all of our brokenness. There is no way that I could have gotten through personal things in my life if it wouldn't have been for the love of the Lord and his help. And all of us are struggling with so many things right now, from job insecurities to losing loved ones from this horrible virus. But that's not all that I want to focus on. I read a meme the other day that said, "You never know your brokenness today will be a blessing to others. If your brokenness today will be a blessing to others tomorrow. The trials you experience will be a great testimony someday. Someday, we will all be able to look back to this time that we're in right now, and we'll all be able to be a blessing and a help to someone else." God can carry us through our broken times, and he can help us to build off of those times. And so we need to remember that what's happening today, God will see us through it, and he will help us. And someday down the line, we will be able to be a blessing to someone else. Everyone is going through some type of tribulation right now. No one is exempt. None of us are too young or too old to experience any type of brokenness that we're going through, from the school kids having to stop school early and not being able to see their friends and teachers and telling them goodbye and all of those things, to the graduates that may not be able to have graduation parties and graduations in existence, to their senior trips and different things that they had planned to do, to those of us that may have struggles with job security right now. So many people are not able to open up their businesses and continue to work and to build the jobs that they've worked so hard for. So many small businesses will be losing their businesses. And this is not a fun, exciting time for any of us. We are all going to help each other. And what I mean by that is in small businesses, when we are able to open back up, we need to be a 100% help and security for those that are opening back up. Maybe smaller restaurants, smaller clothing shops such as boutiques and different things like that. Maybe turning our support over to those type of businesses to help them to build once we're all back on our feet again, and to keep carrying on their dreams of the job securities that they have had in the past. And we all need to be on top of that and be a great support to each other on that. But it's also what we do with the trials that we're going through right now. It's what we do with those trials that will help mold us, or they can break us. Romans 5, 3 through 4 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Boy, that's hard. It's hard to glory in tribulations. But if we do that, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, if we're patient, and patience, experience, God is giving us experience right now as we're going through these trials, and experience, hope. God Himself is our hope. And from gaining the experience that we are going through right now, we are learning to put our full hope and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Are we allowing our tribulations to work patience in us as we learn to depend on the Lord in this time? Are we gaining experience in all that we're going through today, and taking that experience to maybe one day be a blessing to others? Or are we allowing Satan to use these things against us to make us bitter? I tell you, one thing that I've dealt with a lot here recently is anger. A lot of things that we see and know that's going on in the news media and such, can, if we sit and watch it all day and dwell on it, it can easily make us angry. Those of us that are not able to see our children walk down the aisle for graduations at the scheduled times that they were, that could easily make us angry. But we have to remember that God is in this. Do we have hope in God as we deal with these things and the burdens that we have today in our lives? God only allows the trials to be placed in our life. He does not give us the trials. He does not give us these burdens. He allows for these things to happen to teach us some things from these things that we are going through right now. He does not ever give us the burden. He allows Satan to have his way in giving burdens in order to test us, to try us, and to mold us, and to make us into what he wants us to be day by day. We can also learn to trust in him and ask him to help us to renew our brokenness day by day. We can lean on him for more faith. We can lean on him for more hope and more trust. We can carry our burdens to him in prayer. And just like I'm talking to you right now, we can talk to the Lord, and we can tell him all that we are going through on the inside. And he is there for us. It doesn't matter how we feel. We can be angry. We can be hurt. We can be bitter. We can be crying out to him. It doesn't matter. He loves us unconditionally, and he wants for us to come to him in these times. And so it's our choice, rather my choice, to trust in the Lord or not. It's your choice to trust in the Lord or not. And I hope that you will continue to receive blessings as you listen to this radio program. And it's my burden and it's my goal to be a blessing and a help to each of you that have been listening. And I still want us to walk down this journey that we have together in becoming a better broken. I still want for all of us to stay focused on the things that God is doing to bless us. So many times have I found myself sitting around and thinking about all of the negatives, especially right now, when we can't go out and do the things that we once did and such. And we can sit at home and just dwell on the things that are not going right now. But God does not want us to do that. He wants us to stay busy. So I'm trying myself, if I could be a testimony to you, I'm trying to find things to busy my mind, reading and not just about news and media and those kind of things, which I think is necessary just to keep up to date on things, but not to sit around and focus on all of that. Find something else to do with your mind. Find some things that you can do that could be honoring and pleasing to the Lord. I know that we as a family, we have done some meals for some of the community. My husband is in charge of that as he likes to grill and such. So he has taken some food to different businesses that are essential right now and just trying to be a blessing and a help to them in any way that we can. There's different things that we can do. House projects, household projects that you've been wanting to do for so long and never had the time to do because of work and different things. We can stop what we're thinking about, you know, in our minds by keeping it busy in some way. And that's how God wants for us to live and trusting in Him. Do we as Christians see and know that the time for His return is drawing near? Absolutely, yes. But this is just all that we're going through right now. It's just a labor pain. It's things that we've got to go through in order to get us ready for His return. And so try not to dwell on the negatives. Try to find positives in all that is going on right now today. I'm learning this myself. I'm not perfect. Trust me. I have my moments and I have my times where I doubt in the Lord. But He does not want for us to do that. He wants for us to fully put our trust in Him. And if we'll go back and remember at the beginning of the first chapter, I talked about the beginning, how there was brokenness. And it started at the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve was. And it started with how Eve was tempted by Satan. And she took of the fruit, and then she offered it to Adam, and he took of the fruit as well. And Satan led them to lies and deceit. And so that fruit was so desirable to eat for both of them, and they gave in to what Satan wanted them to do. And Eve and Adam were both tempted at this time. But also in this time, this was the first time that sin was introduced. Sin entered into the world at this time. And so even though they knew the danger signs and they knew that what they were doing was wrong, immediately when they took a bite of that fruit, they knew that they were in sin. God had yet given them another chance. God chose to forgive them, but there were some changes in our world at that time. Of course, we weren't here, but God foresaw and knew that these things had to take place in order for the things that are happening today to happen. It had to begin somewhere, and it began with Adam and Eve, and that's how sin entered into this world. Today, we are where we are because of sin. So much sin, so many lies, and so much deceit is behind the scenes in so many areas that God is just taking us through another phase to get us prepared and to get us ready for His second coming. And I'm confident in that. And if you study the prophecy and the scriptures, we are seeing things and events unfold before us as we are watching everything that's taking place right now. I've had someone to tell me not to fear. When I've mentioned about how disheartened I am about certain things, my son maybe not being able to walk down the aisle for graduation. But the thing is, I don't fear. I don't fear in what's going on right now because I know where I'm going to spend eternity when I die. I know, or if the Lord were to come back today and take us home, I know where I would be. So I'm not living in fear. I don't fear what's taking place. But I do want for each of you to know that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can easily live in fear. Even Christians can live in fear. There have been times in my life that I've been fearful of things. But if you don't know Christ, you have more of a chance of being fearful than we do as Christians. And so what better time than now is it to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? All of us as Christians should be shouting and telling everyone that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us as Christians should be sharing the gospel. And I think it's wonderful that even though I hate the situation of not being able to be in our church buildings, but it's been awesome to see all of these pastors and preachers share the gospel online, which is another thing that the Lord said was another prophecy that everyone in the world will know who is God, or even whether they don't know it or accept it, they will hear that He is God. And I believe that's exactly what's going on right now. As we are sharing the gospel online, the whole world can click on a button and hear and know who God actually is. And it's our choice to receive that gift of salvation or to reject it. God gives us the right to choose what to do with our lives. So you can receive that gift of salvation or you can reject it. In the last radio program, I talked about how you could be saved. And I firmly believe that everyone has to feel conviction. You have to know you're a sinner, number one. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3, verses 9 through 20 teaches us that no one is righteous in God's eyes. We are all sinners. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's like a gift. If I were to send you a gift in the mail, maybe I chose to send you a piece of my jewelry that I've made, or one of my books. That is a gift that I am sending to you. And it's your choice if you want to receive that gift or turn around and send it back to me and not receive it. That is your choice. Same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for our sin. It is our decision and choice to accept that gift of forgiveness that He shed His blood for our sins. He gave His forgiveness so we can accept His forgiveness and we can become a born-again Christian if we choose to do so. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We are all sinners. Jesus suffered on the cross and died because of our sin. Some don't worry about sin because they feel that He is too loving of a God to judge us for our sins. Or they don't worry about sin because maybe they've turned to some other god. But according to God's word, we are all born sinners and our bodies are imperfect. It's also known as the flesh. Our flesh is sinful. And we will all have to stand before the Lord to answer Him for our sin one day. But what better time than now to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to ask for His forgiveness of all of our sin, and to trust Him. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." That simply means that sin was forgiven when He died on that cross. And since we will all sin now and in the future, that makes us all sinners. So what do we do once we realize this? We need to accept the fact that we are sinners that are in need of a sinless Christ. He took care of our sins on the cross, and I praise God, and I'm so thankful for for God sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for me and my personal sin. Romans 10:9-10 promises that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once you admit and confess that you are a sinner, the next thing to do is simply believe that Christ died for you. Romans 5:8 says, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He had to pay that sin debt for us. When the veil was rent and torn into two at the time of His death, if you'll go back in Matthew 27 and read that, the atonement for our sin was completed. And we no longer have to live by laws of confessing to the priest or any other man of our sin. We have total access to God the Father and His throne through Jesus Christ our Lord. His death, the barriers of sin and death between God and man, were torn apart on that day so that we can now become Christians. We can now boldly come into the throne of grace. And in Hebrews 5:14-16, it says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, are we at times of need right now in our lives. Once you believe, you must trust Christ alone as your personal Lord and Savior. Again, as it says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then it says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not the words that you say. It's not how you live your life. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him to come into your life to make you a new creature and to help you to live for Him day by day. This decision is the most important choice that you will ever make in your life. If you would like to settle a place in eternity, in heaven, once and for all, simply pray a prayer like this. Confess that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you of your many sins. And ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. Remember that it's not the words and the form of prayer that you are saying, but it's what's on your heart right now as you are praying to Him. And that's all that matters. God wants for us to trust in Him. What better time than today is it to put your faith and trust in Him? Today, we are going through so many things in our lives. The greatest gift that you can have or be given today is the gift of salvation. These thoughts come from some of the topics from my book, A Better Broken for Youth. And I'm working on and will be releasing a new book in the future called A Better Broken for Ladies. And it will be focused for ladies and the different battles and things that we personally face. And I ask that you would please pray for me as I continue to listen to what God wants for me to share. And remember, too, that no matter what you're going through, God is still there for you. He loves you, and through our brokenness, no matter what it may be, we can all be used by Him. When it seems like you're all alone, remember that you're not. It's my desire to share what the Lord places on my heart, and I pray that I am a blessing to you in all that I say and do. As I close this program for today, I want to again say thank you to Lifted Authors Radio Network for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful program. I also wanted to say a special thank you to Kayla Padgett and Tammy Polk for asking me to be involved in this program, to my husband and my children and my friends for their wonderful love and support, and above all, to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving my soul and for helping me to share with you the things that I have shared on my heart. Thank you for all of your continuous love and support as you listen. And again, this has been a Better Broken Radio broadcast, and my name is Angie West. Join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program, or listen on my Facebook page, A Better Broken Radio Broadcast. If you're interested in my handmade resin jewelry, you can also find me on my Facebook and Instagram business pages under the title, A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. Again, thank you, and have a blessed and wonderful day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. I am your host, inspirational conversationalist and author, Angel Charmaine, and I am here with you all for another amazing conversation with a guest author. And you all know that on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio, this is the platform that gives Christian authors an opportunity to share the words of their testimony through their books in order to inspire the stories of others. And so today I've got a beautiful guest with me. And FYI, for those of you who are listening on the radio, I am also video recording this conversation. So I'm gonna be, I can actually see my guest. And we're also possibly going to take some questions from the chat audience, if there are any. So just rock with me if you're listening to the audio version only, okay? So welcome, Miss Erica Warren, to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. Thank you for accepting the invite.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with Miss Angel Charmaine. Yes.
That's what's up. Listen, I love having these conversations. I just do. I love reading and writing, and I love being able to create a platform for all of us to be able to just share the words of our testimony, because that's how we overcome. Right.
Yeah, it's very refreshing to connect with other people, but even more so other women who share the vision, who understand what it means to share your story, to inspire others to share theirs. And I feel like we already know each other, like listening to your stories and your testimonies. That's the beauty of this, is because then you start to feel like this girl is my sister and I never met her before, because you feel like your experiences are so much in alignment with theirs. So you can really identify with people like that.
Exactly. I feel you. I'm like, oh, people say, Angel, everybody's your sis. I'm like, no, I don't call everybody sis.
Right.
I don't call everybody sis. No, I don't.
You, and if you're being your real authentic self, everybody's not going to identify with you. And it's perfectly okay, because you're not going to identify with everybody else either.
Exactly. That's what's up. All right. So, sis, here we go. We are here to talk about your new work. You've got a book that is going to be coming out. It's actually in the pre-order phase, and I've already pre-ordered my copy.
Thank you.
Y'all know me. I'm going to support.
Yes.
So I've already pre-ordered my copy, but I believe it's an amazing work, and it's an anthology of women's stories, and it is called In Spite of It All, correct?
Correct.
All right. And
The title came, my publisher asked me, what did I think a good title would be? Mm-hmm. And I came up with that title because, in spite of it all, everything that came against you, everything that you thought was meant, you know, to break you down, you know, and to take you off of the path, actually pushed you up and propelled you further. And I wanted to get a bunch of women together who had a story of, in spite of it all, I'm still here. I'm better. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. And I'm ready to share my story with the world.
That's what's up. I love it. So you led this project. Is that correct?
Or right.
Do you have some team members? Is it you and someone else, or you got a partner, or was this your brainchild and you just sort of solicited other women to come along?
Yeah, this was my brainchild. And I started, you know, reaching out on social media, on Facebook, asking other women, do you have a story you want to tell? Do you have something that you've overcome in your life that you think other women would identify with and would benefit from hearing your story? And that's basically how I got everybody on the book project, is posting on Facebook and asking through social media. And they were inboxing me saying, you know, I'm interested, And that's how it got started. And we had a cutoff. We only wanted 25 women, but I think we ended up with 30.
Wow.
And I kept telling my publisher, like, I'm ready to cut it off. I'm ready to stop. She was like, well, let's see if we get a few more, because, you know, sometimes people will come in and then they might fall off or they might change their mind. So you'll have some extra backups in case. But we ended up with about 30 women.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So there are a few things. There are a few questions that I do want to ask about the actual process of creating the anthology. But if I can remember, I'll save those to the end. What I would like to spend the majority of our time doing is talking about the work itself. And of course, talking about your piece, because you're also in the anthology, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. So if you don't mind, share with us about your story.
Okay. So I thought it was important to share my story because a few years ago, I really came to the realization and admitting to myself that I had daddy issues my whole life. The absence of my father really played a big role in how I conducted myself, in the relationships I found myself in the way I viewed myself, and, you know, how I interacted with the world. And once I came to that realization, I looked back on everything and I realized a lot of the relationships I would get in was just to try to fill that void, to get that love from a man figure that I didn't get from my father. And it left me with a lot of regret. It left me with a lot of, you know, feelings of rejection and failure. And it was just me repeating that cycle over and over, trying to chase the love of my father. So I think so many women can identify with that. A lot of us don't even realize that's the stem of the issues that we are facing. And if we get to the root of it, we can pluck that root out and then start to heal, you know, from that point on.
I agree. Oh my goodness. That sounds like a little piece of my own story. I can totally understand just looking for the love that you would typically receive from your father and looking for that in men.
Yeah. I can remember back like it was yesterday when my mom and my dad split up, and he called my mom to say he was going to come pick me up and take me to go shopping and spend the day with him. And I got dressed and I waited for hours and hours and hours, and he never did show. Mm-hmm. And that started to breed like a sense of, you know, resentment, bitterness, and a sense of, you know, I can't depend on any man. It's got to be, you know, if anything is to get done in my life, it's got to be me. You know, I can't let other people disappoint me anymore. And so at a young age, I became very fiercely independent. I wouldn't let anybody do anything for me. I didn't want to ask anybody for anything. I will always say, if I can't do it for myself, then I don't need it. And I didn't even realize that was stemming from, you know, my hurt and pain of not having my father in my life.
I'm glad you brought up this idea of being fiercely independent. It's something that I talk about. So you know that this is a Christian radio network, and I'm a for sure God girl. I like to make sure people recognize that.
Yes.
But I have brought up this idea of being fiercely independent as well, because for different reasons, I also sat in that place at one point in my life. And I believe that it is definitely a trick of the enemy. You know, in studying God's word, I have learned that God didn't create us to live independently from him or of other people, but that we are supposed to be dependent on him, and we're created to work together. But I do believe that for many women, especially African-American women, and I'm not even going to say women of color, I'm going to say Black women who live in America.
Yes.
We have been bamboozled with this idea of being fiercely independent,
mm-hmm.
the way we're supposed to be.
Yes.
And I disagree with that.
I do too. And for many years, I subscribed to that notion that, you know, you're more powerful when you don't have to depend on anybody else, when you don't have to ask anybody else for help. I believe that was a badge of power. But then as I got older and got wiser, I realized it was like a invisible shackles holding you back in life and weighing you down.
Right.
And one day I realized the weight was just too much for me to carry. And I needed to unload it. And that's when I started, you know, letting God in and, you know, seeking his counsel, because this is something that most women probably won't admit. But you get so fiercely independent, you don't even think you need to lean on God anymore.
Exactly. And I believe that's the trick. Mm-hmm. It's not so much of feeling like you don't need other people, mm-hmm. but when you spend so much time not relying on anyone else and only seemingly relying on yourself, then mm-hmm. it sort of lends itself and extends itself to God as well, right?
Yeah.
Which puts us in a place of sitting in pride because
yes.
you did it.
Whoo, my pride was... My pride was out of this world. That is why when I became 18, I never went back to my mama's house because my pride wouldn't let me. There were so many times in my life where the world was whipping my butt and I needed, you know, my mom, but my sense of pride wouldn't let me, you know, go back and tell her and ask her for help.
Right. Is your mother, is she still living now?
Yes, she's still living now. We have a relationship where we get along better now as adults than when I was a child, because I was just so rebellious.
Right. And angry, right? And frustrated and confused, and you just don't know why. And what I've learned is that in having to heal and allow God to restore the relationship between my mother and I had to learn that she was a woman before she was a mother.
Yes.
Before she was a mother. And I posted on my Facebook page, I believe it was yesterday, a post that says, I was studying the word, preparing for this woman's group discussion thing that God is leading me to do. Where God showed me that he created us and gave us dominion before he formed us and gave us a position.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we understand that we are women before we became mothers, wives, helpmates, and all this other stuff. God created us male and female, right? And gave us dominion. And when I realized that my mom was a woman before she was ever a mother, it allowed me to be able to see her differently and to be able to be compassionate.
Yeah.
To see myself in her as well and go, my goodness. Think about what I've done with my own kids. Think about the mistakes I've made with my own children. Think about what could have happened had God not been covering me with my own not so great decisions. And I had to be able to extend grace.
That's exactly it. Once you become a parent, and we all have to tell our kids the same thing, you will not understand my standpoint until you become me.
Right.
You know, because you think I'm telling you something to hurt you. You think I'm telling you something to hinder you or to hold you back or to enforce my will over your life. And that's just not what it is. But you'll understand when you become a parent, too.
Exactly.
And that's like you just said, I had to look back and I this was maybe like 3 months ago. I called my mom. It just hit me out of the blue and I called her. And I tried to get through the conversation without breaking down and crying, but I just called her to tell her, I thank you so much, because all of the stuff you were trying to tell me was true and was real, but I couldn't see it, you know, because of my own pride and what I wanted to do.
Right.
And she was so appreciative of just me calling her to tell her that.
Oh, isn't it I'm telling you, I understand that choked up feeling. I remember having to say to my mom, I release you from my anger.
Yeah. And not only you released her, you released you.
Exactly. And in order for me to begin my process, the Lord said, Angel, you're going to have to release her. You're going to have to let that go.
And oh, yeah.
To see her just say, look, oh, I've known you've been angry all these years, but I didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
I've known you felt this way. I've known you've been angry. I've seen you acting all rebellious and funky and talking crazy to me, but just not knowing how to fix that. So it's a beautiful thing, right? So what are some other, have you seen any of the other writings that are going to be in the anthology from other women?
I haven't seen them all together, but talking to the women, they've shared their stories of what they're going to be, what they're including in the book.
Right.
And I got to watch some of them because they've been doing live, you know, interviews with other platforms to talk about the book and what they're sharing in the book. So I got to watch some of those videos and see their stories. And I got choked up and emotional just watching them talk about their stories because, you know, you hear that saying that you don't look like what you've been through. These women don't look like the stories they're going to share. Like one woman, she was like a month away from getting married to her fiance when he got murdered.
Mm.
And she went into a deep depression, but she wouldn't share it with anybody. She was trying to go through it all by herself. So she talks about that. We have one woman who lost a child. The baby was stillborn and she had to bury the child. And then within a year after that, her husband left her and said he didn't want to, you know, do it anymore. So she's sharing that story. We have one woman in there. She's talking about how all her life she never felt supported by her family. So she went into, you know, extreme isolation and depression and suicidal thoughts. Because she said the one time she did reach out to a family member for help, they talked about her so bad to the rest of the family till she, you know, she just isolated inside of herself. And she talks about the danger of isolating and not reaching out to people and not having somebody to, you know, support you, and how the enemy will take that isolation and use it against you and tell you that life is not worth it. You may as well go ahead and leave this earth. It's too much pain. It's too much heartache. You'll be better on the other side. And so she got in, you know, caught up in that. So she talks about how she was able to get out of that. But the most important part of all of their stories is they give it all the credit to God, to their relationship with God, or even like losing their relationship and finding it again. So they give the credit to, you know, God. Yeah, that was the important element that I wanted to have in the book, is for everybody to, you know, make sure they understand who got them through that.
Right. I think that's important, especially as Christian authors, that with all of the stories that we tell, that we make sure that the reader understands that the glory goes one way.
Mm-hmm.
The glory goes one way.
And it's important for us Christians to understand that being a Christian and loving God does not exempt you from the sorrows and the pains and the trials and tribulations of the world. Just because you've gone through depression or suicidal thoughts doesn't make you less of a Christian. It doesn't make God love you any less, because you still have to go through this life in the flesh, and all kinds of things are going to afflict you in the flesh.
Right.
It's just not losing sight of who's able to get you out of it is just a bigger issue.
Exactly. I'm already excited to get my copy. Because these sound like some amazing stories. Prayerfully, I'll get an opportunity to share some of these stories here on Speak Up Sis Talk Radio once the book is released and I can read it and possibly bring some of these beautiful writers on to this platform and share their stories. I would like to talk a little bit about the process of creating your anthology. How did you, you know, how did you go about that? If you don't mind sharing a little bit of the process.
Yeah. So the publisher of the book, her name is Alandria Lloyd, and she has her own publishing company, and she specializes in these type of projects, women sharing their true life testimonies. She's a best-selling author, and the first project that we did together was called Dear Young Woman, and that went to the bestseller list on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But she approached me and she asked me, would I be interested in gathering my own group of women to do an anthology, and I would be in charge of, you know, the vision of it, getting the women together. So whenever the women do come in and say they want to be a part of the project, then they sign up. They sign a contract with her publishing company to get everything edited and put together. So I just got the email yesterday that the last edits are done, mm-hmm. and that if we approve them, they're going to go to printing. So okay. Everything is going through her company, which is called the Writer's Block LLC, which is a publishing company that she built from the ground up on her own when she became an author, and she realized she had a gift to where she can teach other women how to do it. She has some courses that she teaches women how to write their own book in 30 days or less, okay. and to get it published and stuff like that. So that was the process. I was basically in charge of getting the women together, vetting them out and finding out what their stories are, and then getting them in contact with her.
Okay. Sounds interesting. I personally, as an indie author myself, I've written 3 books and self-published them, but I've never actually worked within an anthology. I attempted to do something similar prior to when I met him, which is my newest book, because I was running from having to tell those stories.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I'll just get some other people to tell their stories and put them all together. But God said, so you're going to tell your own story so you can get free. So I did that. So I think it's interesting to hear about how the anthologies work, because I've been seeing more and more women become authors initially in that way prior to them getting to a point where they write their own books for themselves. The anthology sort of gives them this opportunity to test out their writing chops.
Because you don't feel so much pressure to write your own full book yourself. Mm-hmm. You're in it with other women who are probably also first-time authors as well. So you get to support each other and help each other and not feeling so nervous about it and everything like that. So that was a good step for me when I did the first anthology. I didn't feel so intimidated and overwhelmed, and I was only responsible for 1 chapter of the book. But then once I started writing my chapter, I realized I really do need to write my own book, because I can't fit everything into this 1 chapter. I have so many other stories I want to tell.
That's what I was going to ask you next, because you said you were a part of an anthology and now you have sort of created your own anthology with other women. So when is Erica Warren's book, just solo book, when is it coming?
Oh my goodness. I've started on like some chapters. I've written some chapters, and I've been like all over the place with what I really want to write about, like, do I want to start from childhood and kind of bring up to present day? I also wanted to write a book about, like, the last maybe 5 years of my life, being a single woman in her 40s now and actually dating, which is something that I've never done before. Like, all in my 20s and 30s, never dated. I was just always either in a relationship or married. Mm-hmm. So this is a totally new experience for me. So I kind of wanted to do that, where I go through the process of getting divorced and getting out into the single world again and really dating like I should have done in my 20s. Mm-hmm. and I think a lot of women would be interested in that, because I think a lot of women find themselves in that same situation where you've been through a marriage, it didn't work out. Now you're really getting in touch with who you are. Right. And now you're dating the right way. But it's so much different now in this day and age and time with online dating and all of that stuff. Yeah. So maybe I should have dated in my 20s.
maybe we all should have done that, because listen, I met my husband at 23 and was married at 24 and married and children and all those things. And so just like you, I find myself in my 40s, been divorced for several years now, and in this place again. So I don't know, you know, I thought about that as well. I think if I ever decide to write about this chapter of my life, it'll be once I'm remarried and have been in it for just a little while, and maybe I'll be willing to share the process. I you know, when it comes to writing and actually publishing and putting it out to people, I like to be able to leave people with hope.
Yeah.
And so for me, writing about the dating process at 40 something, not having gotten to the place of remarriage, which is my heart's desire. Mm-hmm. I just kind of feel like I would leave them.
Right. Hanging.
Yeah.
I was looking at it a different way. I was looking at it like, I want to share some of my stories with y'all, some of the shenanigans I went through, to kind of put a funny spin on it, but to also let you know you're not going through this by yourself. Gotcha. Because a lot of women think that their situation is unique and that I'm meeting all of the duds and this dating thing doesn't work. And I have a singles women group where we talk about it, and a lot of them get so discouraged and they just say, I'm done with it. I want to deal with it no more. And I try to put a positive spin on it to let them know it's really just a process. I mean, it's just a learning process. If you go in thinking that this should turn into something, and if it doesn't, that's where your disappointment comes in. But look at it as just a learning process. Like, you just learn who you don't like, and you learn more about yourself and you learn more about people. I've been looking at dating as like a learning process, and I've learned so much about men. Mm-hmm. Just going on dates and not expecting nothing out of it. I've gotten a lot of male friendships out of it. Just, you know, just dating. So I look at it like I didn't lose anything. I learned something new.
Right. I think that's a good perspective. Yes. Marco's perspective. And I think we all have to just be gentle with ourselves. Mm-hmm. Understand that, you know, God's work and his hand in our lives will be just as unique as all of us. You know what I'm saying? And so and we can appreciate that. I guess When I Met Him sort of is my dating book. Got a happy ending there as well, but who knows? But listen, Erica, it has been a blessing to have you in this space with me today. I'm sure the Speak Up Sis Talk Radio audience has thoroughly enjoyed having you here in this space. Please tell us how we can connect with you, and for anyone who would like to be able to pre-order and start. Okay. Please, you know, give us all of the contact information.
All right. So you can find me on Facebook. My name is Erica Warren. You can just search for that and find me there. I also have an author's page, which it's just called Author Erica Warren. So if you type that in, I should come up. You should see a red shirt. Just click on that and follow me. I put all of my books and release dates there. If you want to pre-order the book, it's a real simple link. It's bit.ly/God's Girl 45. And the G in God and the G in girl is capitalized. So if you type that in, you'll go directly to my page where you can pre-order the book. And it comes with a special gift. I'm going to send out ink pens, which are inscribed with the logo that says, "In spite of it all, God's got your back." And okay. I want everybody to be reminded of that when you're going through tough times. In spite of it all, God's got your back, but you just got to lean on him. So everybody who pre-orders the book, you're going to get that that special pen. So that is my spiel. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It was my pleasure being with you today, Angel. As always, I love watching you and listening to you every day.
Thank you. I appreciate you too. And listen, I'm enjoying your platforms as well. You didn't even shout out your podcast. Come on.
I forgot about the podcast. I have a podcast. It's called Dope Discussions with Erica. We go live on my author's page every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Y'all definitely want to, and actually, Angel is going to be on the next episode with us because we're going to be interviewing some guys. We're going to be talking about the emotional roller coaster and why guys come in hot and then go cold on us. So that's going to be a good one. So Angel's going to join us for that conversation. And you can find Dope Discussions with Erica on all of the platforms, anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. We drop a new episode every Monday. So go check that out and get caught up with us and then join us live this Sunday.
That's what's up. Thank you so much, Erica, joining us at Speak Up Sis Talk Radio today. I really appreciate you. So listen, everyone, you all have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye, y'all.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.